Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Let's talk to our man Charles Davis, NFL Network analyst. You can see him throughout the NFL Network's coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay. First round coverage starts at Thursday at 8 o'clock, by the way, on NFL Network. Charles, Dukes and Bell, it's so good to have you back on the show. Congratulations, by the way, on all the great things that are happening in your career. But we love talking with you, man, because this time of year is so much fun. I want to start with your opinions about the edge rushers outside of Abdul Carter, because we don't believe we're going to be able to get him. But what about the guys that are still there for us potentially for the Atlanta Falcons at 15?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see where, you know, do we have a quick run on them at all? Do we have Jaylen Walker off the board? Do we have Mykel Williams off the board? Do we have Mike Green off the board? You know, it's going to be that type of a deal. James Pierce at Tennessee is a terrific edge rusher. I'm feeling like he's going to end up somehow getting to the second round. So I don't know what's there. I did my final mock draft, and you know what mock drafts are worth when you put them on paper, right?
I read it. I liked it.
I believe I gave you a defensive tackle.
Yep.
Because we were out of edge rushers, and you got to provide pressure somehow. And Leonard Floyd, he's been awfully consistent. Step up to the mic, do it again, and Derek Harmon comes to town, I believe.
All right, man. And again, it's a name we have not talked about. What do you like about Derek Harmon?
I like his quickness, you know, and I like the fact that when I watch him play, I'm seeing movement up front. I'm seeing all the different rushes put together. I'm seeing determination to get to the quarterback. I see a guy that I just like and I think has improved over his time at Oregon. And it's kind of funny when you start thinking about it. It seems like forever ago, but DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, mm-hmm. I remember doing their games in college. And looking at those two, waiting for a huddle to break, looking like it was dinner time. And those two hadn't eaten in a while, you know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, who's going to run into that and have to deal with that all the time? Now, Harmon coming from Oregon, that doesn't mean he's going to be exactly like them. But I do think that he's going to be, you know, I just like his game. You know, I'm trying to find my notes here real quick. You guys go ahead with something else. I want to find the notes that I wrote down on him so I can make sure I give it to you the right way.
Listen, Charles, I know it's just so much to take in, and I was saying this the other day, just trying to be on top of stuff with all these different players every year, and you get so much information. It's Charles Davis, guys, from NFL Network joining us. You got
here
it?
Go.
What'd you say?
I'll just give you a brief little sample. You know he's a Michigan State transfer before he went to Oregon. Love his movement skills. Hard to hit at the snap of the ball. Gets upfield with fluidity and power. That's just a couple of the small notes I had on him. That's part of what I like.
So, being a Tennessee guy, listen, are you buying any of this stuff about James Pierce? And you know, he's another guy that potentially might be there for us when you talk about a guy coming off the edge. I don't know where you have him ranked, Charles, but, you know, we've tried to analyze all these different guys. Obviously, the Georgia boys with Jaylen and Mykel, but James Pierce right. – What do you think about him? 6'5", 250-ish? I think he's a player.
He looks the part, doesn't he? I mean, you saw the combine, didn't you?
When
he just absolutely destroyed the combine. So you're seeing that. You want to see a little bit more consistency in how he gets to the quarterback. He's got to add a little ballast to him. He's about 245, 250 or so. That'll come with time. I'm not worried about that. I just, in talking to people around the league, people that I trust, you know, different scouts and people are like, look, I'm not talking to a ton of them, but I'm not getting the enthusiasm for him at where you are. I get more enthusiasm for him when we start to get from 25 to 32.
Makes sense.
It is Charles Davis with us, guys, the NFL on CBS. Also see his NFL mock draft. And soon, guys, in 2026, the Big Ten on CBS with our buddy Brad Nessler. Congratulations, by the way. Charles.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man, I looked at your draft twice. Hey, bro, I couldn't find Shador Sanders. What's up with that?
Yes. Yeah, I don't do trades, okay? I make it very clear. I always just do 1 through 32. And I'm going through it. And I'm finding, okay, where's the landing spot? 2 Cleveland, 3 Giants, 6 Raiders, 9 New Orleans, 21 Pittsburgh. And I opted for other people in those spots. Mm. But I would not be shocked one bit if he went in the top 10, right?
Right.
If the Giants took him at 3, I wouldn't fall out of my chair. Because you and I both know that this time of year, everyone's lying anyway. So we really don't know. We don't know what their intentions are. But I also wouldn't be surprised at all if we're coming down to Pittsburgh at 21. If that's the decision and Pittsburgh says no, I also wouldn't be surprised someone trade back in. And those teams at the top who didn't take him would be the prime people.
Yep.
Giants, Saints, right? Mm. Cleveland, right at the top. Don't be surprised if they trade back in. He could very easily leave as a first-round pick. I just didn't have him in there. But I wrote an article recently that I call Pound the Table. These are guys that I really believe in. I think deserve their chance in the NFL. Not everyone's a first-rounder. Not everyone's an undrafted free agent. The first person I put down on my sheet was Shedeur Sanders. Mm. I just think that with everything that how he's grown up, there have been benefits to being a Sanders. And as you guys know, there have been natural barriers to being a Sanders, where people can't wait for you to fail.
Right.
Don't even know you, but they want you to go down the tube so fast.
I know.
And he has grown up with this, and I don't think any of it phases him. I think he is going to be successful. I don't care if he goes first round, fifth round, whatever. I think he's going to be successful. But in this mock draft, I did not have him going.
It is Charles Davis, guys. NFL Network, again, their coverage begins Thursday, 8 o'clock on NFL Network, live in Green Bay. And Charles, this is a deep running back class. Now, we don't need one here in Atlanta. We've got two pretty good running backs.
Yeah, but you got some guys who can do it.
Yeah, but I'm looking at this running back class, and I'm like, Ginty may be a top five overall player in this draft. Do you have him that good?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think he's that good. And I'll put it to you this way. The way Cleveland plays under Kevin Stefanski, he's good enough to be considered at 2. Because the way they play, wanting to control the ball, multiple tight ends, need a big runner, in another draft, he's considered at 2. And remember if I screamed at Dave Gettleman for taking Saquon at 2? Well, you get him in the right situation, that's a pretty good pick, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? All right? And Saquon in Philadelphia, you would have said 2. Why didn't he go 1? Instead, when he's with the Giants, everybody's freaking out. Like, hey, what is Dave Gettleman? That's terrible. That's horrible. Didn't have the line to support it. You get the people that get it done right, you get to see the greatness come out. Ginty is that player in this draft in terms of runners. I think he's good enough to go at 2. New England, if they weren't just so abysmal everywhere, they would consider him at 4. Jacksonville is where I think the big wild card is right now.
Right.
Because new coach, how he runs offense, what Barkley Irving did for him in Tampa last year, this could be the spot. So if you really want him, guys, the trades tomorrow night might not be for quarterbacks.
Right.
Trades might be for Ginty, and it might be for the tight ends, Warren and Loveland.
Now, we talked a lot with Charles Davis already about the edge rushers. There's a lot of concern here, and I brought this up last couple of years, Charles. We just don't, for whatever reason, previous regimes too, don't like Georgia Bulldogs. They forget Athens is up the street. And this year, now Jalen Walker likely to be gone. What is your take on Mykal Williams? And should teams be worried about the ankle injury or not?
I think everybody has gone through that one. I've heard the medical has checked out fine. He went through the ankle injury. He's come back. He's okay, et cetera. I think like a lot of edge rushers this year or any year, how many times have you looked at an edge rusher and you've heard us talking heads talk about this guy's this and this guy's that, and you punch up his numbers and go, he's got 3 sacks. Mm-hmm. What are they talking about, right? Chop Robinson had 4.5 sacks last year at Penn State. It worked out.
Right.
Danielle Hunter is a 100 sack player in the NFL.
Right.
Do you know how many sacks he had as a career at LSU?
I'm 4.5. Not many.
4.5.
Right.
Now, they got him in the third, but still, 4.5 sacks in the third? Traits often develop. Trayvon Walker was a total traits guy. It wasn't numbers, as you guys remember, right, to go number one.
Yeah.
Everybody flipped out because Hutchinson's been very good, and I understand it. You know what else, though? The last 2 years, Trayvon Walker's been a double-digit sack guy. So you've got to grade the flashes,
right,
understand what you're getting, And sometimes those guys are better in terms of numbers in the pros than they were otherwise. And I'm seeing more and more of that all the time. Adafe Owe had zero sacks his senior year at Penn State. So that's all I can tell you. I can't figure it out, but we have a lot of guys like that. Mykael Williams, Jalen Walker isn't a huge sack number guy.
Shamar Stewart, you're right.
Shamar Stewart is not a huge sack number guy. Nick Skirton, his sack numbers fell off from Purdue to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going?
Right? No doubt. You can't always look at that and project how this guy's going to be.
But you know Kirby's guys are always ready, right?
Yeah, on a particular team.
They know how to practice. They know how to play. They're pros probably from midway through their freshman year when they figure it all out, how to do things the right way. And the pressure Kirby puts on them in practice, when you go on the road in the SEC – they're almost impervious. They're like, yeah, you guys think 95,000 yelling at us is a big deal? Why don't you get in a closed room with Kirby and see if you can handle that?
Charles, with your DB experience, again, outside of Travis Hunter, because I think he's the number one corner and number one wide receiver in this draft and the best player.
Yes.
Tell me about Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron or Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky. These are the three guys we keep talking about that are going to go potentially high in this draft. What do you think about the class as corners?
I think it's a good class. It's not as deep as it normally is, you know, but it's a good class of corners, some really good players in it. And let's just talk about those guys and let's take them in order. Okay.
All right.
Will Johnson, very well built, got hurt a little bit this last year, but he is a guy that, like Jalen Ramsey, very confident making plays on the football, and he will go back and get it. Okay, so there's times when people want to challenge him with double moves and try and get him that way. I wrote a complete cornerback, has it all, footwork, body control, instincts, aggressiveness. He tackles, makes plays on the football, good hands, might be best overall cornerback in the draft. Mm. Who else did you have on there?
I had Jahdae Barron out of Texas.
Oh, yeah, and you also had Mad Max, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Kentucky.
Okay, so let's see. Maxwell Harrison. Not only does he play corner, covers punts, blitzes, tackles, reads, reacts to routes, really good versus out routes from flat-footed reads, athletic to and through the ball, always on the attack. My notes, I'm just reading you pieces of them. I won't give you my war and peace on all of them. And then Jahdae Barron, closes fast, strikes. I love his awareness and ball skills. He sees it, and then he has the confidence to go do it, all right? Sees it so well that it puts him in proper position to have an impact. Smooth, tough. You can play him on the corner, and you can play him inside at nickel. And if you like him at safety, you can play him there. I'm playing him on the corner.
Nice. Hey, Charles, before we let you go, because you know, obviously you've been at the combines and you've seen all the workouts, you got all the breakdowns. Some folks have said this is going to be a draft where once you get like to where we're picking all the way through and deep in the second round, it's a lot of the same kind of guys. It's a lot of worker bees. Yeah. If you get it right, you can get good depth, but maybe there's not that superstar in this draft. You buying that?
Yeah, I do. And I think that my colleague Daniel Jeremiah said it really well. You're going to get a lot of starters in this draft, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're getting a lot of all pros. Mm. Now, that remains to be seen, as we well know. How many times have we seen drafts and we thought one, and it came out 5 years later? Ooh, it was way different than that, wasn't it?
Right.
So,
right.
Let's see these kids develop. The beauty is COVID did nothing good for this world.
Mm-hmm.
But COVID and NIL are keeping kids in school longer in this short-term frame. NIL will now keep kids in school.
Mm.
We're going to get better football players technique-wise, reps-wise, game experience-wise, at least in the short term coming into the NFL, than we were. We were getting redshirt sophomores, 2 years of experience, redshirt juniors, 3 years of experience. We're getting quarterbacks at 13 career starts and going number 4 overall. Last year, the lowest number of starts was somewhere in the 30s of the 6 that went in the top 12. That only helps the game. And I think that's what we're going to continue to get. Everyone who may not like NIL, you know who loves it? The NFL.
It makes
sense. Keep kids in school.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. Because you get more development and better players coming in.
And the NFL's not paying for it. They like that.
Yeah. No, that's that's absolutely true. Charles, man, congratulations again on all the success. Looking forward to seeing you calling college football and doing all the things when the league starts. But Check him out, guys. Thursday, coverage starts at 8 o'clock again. And on NFL Network, lots of stuff happening, and we can't wait to see how it all plays out. Charles Davis, thanks again.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always great to talk to both of you. Continued success.
Thank you so much.
All right, CD.